people on Friday. Both Labour and the Conservatives have disregarded attempts by Russia to link Ukraine to the shootings and explosions at a concert hall. US officials claim they warned the Kremlin of their intelligence. Historian Sergei Radchenko says Vladimir Putin has a history of lying.
What he is trying to do is he's trying to rally the Russians. He made a speech to the nation. He's trying to rally them around the flag saying, look, you know, we have great trials in front of us, so come stand by me, so to speak, and we'll continue this war on Ukraine.
Meanwhile, Poland has called on Russia to stop what it called terrorist air attacks on Ukraine. A wave of fresh missiles were launched overnight, with one passing through Polish airspace. Nominations have closed in the Fine Gael leadership race, all but confirming Simon Harris as Ireland's next Prime Minister. No other candidate came forward following the resignation of Leo Varadkar. Our senior Ireland correspondent David Blevins says at just 37 years old, he's had a prominent career to date.
Leading the government successful campaign to decriminalise abortion and then leading the nation's response to the COVID pandemic. We understand in his speech this evening he will slightly shift his centre-right party back towards its traditional roots.
Four people have died in a single vehicle crash in Armagh. Police in Northern Ireland say it happened in the early hours of this morning. While a man's died in a car crash on the M62, officers received reports a car was being driven the wrong way down the carriageway near Huddersfield yesterday. And Pope Francis has made a last-minute decision not to deliver his homily during Palm Sunday Mass at the Vatican. The 87-year-old, who also skipped a procession, has recently suffered with knee and respiratory problems. That's the latest. I'm Anna Bates.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Hello, hello everyone. Vicky Michelle here with another Vix Mix on Phoenix 98 FM. And I'm delighted to say the fabulous Tony Smith has stayed on to help twiddle the flashing knobs. How are you, Tony?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good, thanks. We've got the giggles today.
I know. We always have the giggles. And we're matching blue. We were matching green last week. Yes. And we've just discovered we're both in navy today. But do you know what, Tony? I think we should listen to the music.
We should.
The Doobie Brothers. was Listen to the Music, Doobie Brothers, 1993. And I'm playing it for what would have been drummer John Hartman's birthday, which would have been on the 18th of March. Songwriter Tom Johnston was also the band's lead vocalist at the time this was recorded, and it was the Doobie Brothers' first hit. Now, they're called the Doobie Brothers. But, Tony, do you know what their original name was before they were the Doobie Brothers?
No, I was hoping to Google it, but...
I know, I wouldn't let you.
No, I don't. I mean, it's not something I'd probably
You'll love
know.
This.
Go on.
Pud.
Was it really? Pud?
Pud.
P-U-D-D.
How could P-U-D? No, just P-U-D.
Pud.
Pud. Pud.
All right,
how could
Pud.
You have a band called Pud?
No, you couldn't, could you?
You could have Yorkshire.
Come on the stage. It's, please
Christmas.
Welcome Pud.
Pud.
Yeah.
It's Christmas. Welcome Pud.
A Pud in the hood.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. There's been numerous bands over the years, and the Doobie Brothers claim that there's never been a structure to their formation. They basically claim if they sound right together, they play together. The thinking behind this track was that music promotes world peace. And ironically, a former member of the band, Jeff Skunk Baxter, good name, went on to become a ballistics expert and missile defence consultant with the Pentagon.
Yeah, that's a career change and a half, isn't
it? That is. He later joined the NASA Exploration Systems Advisory Committee. That is a change.
Yeah, blimey.
Probably earning good money then. Better than with the Doobies.
Yeah, but yeah, well, it could have been gone from Pud to a missile expert.
Yeah. The current band has recently announced a 38-venue tour of America starting in June. Okay, this is... I love this song, this next song. This is Wilson Pickett singing Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally, Wilson Pickett. We are boogieing on down. Tony is shaking his head. He was living that song, weren't you, Tony?
All the moves while sitting.
I said, if this starts playing at a party or anything, you just have to get up and dance.
Yes, definitely one you people do.
But it was originally sung by Mac Rice in 65, but gained greater popularity when Wilson Pickett covered it in the following year. And I'm playing it for what would have been Wilson Pickett's birthday on the 18th of March. The song was inspired after writer Mac Rice visited singer Della Reese during a recording session. She told him she was thinking of buying her drummer, Calvin Shields, a Lincoln Continental car. Lucky drummer!
Yeah.
You didn't buy, like, box of chocolates, bottle of wine, you bought a car.
Why not?
But when Shields got wind of it, he said he'd rather have a Mustang. So Rice was so inspired by a subsequent drive in a Mustang, he wrote this song giving it the title Mustang Mama. But someone changed the title. Who do you think that was? Do you know who that was, Tony?
Yes, it was Aretha Franklin.
Correct. Oh, font of all knowledge. Aretha suggested the title be changed to Mustang Sally as it better fitted the chorus lyrics. And I'd tell you who else. My friend, Sean Williamson, who was Barry in EastEnders, does a mean version of this. He's a really good singer. Have you ever seen him perform?
No, but I've seen a programme once about EastEnders where people doing, there was different singers coming from it, because you have the other chap, Barry, does karaoke locally, it was on EastEnders, and there was a few of them doing little slots.
But he's got a really good, and this he does really, really well.
Spawned quite a few singers there, have EastEnders?
Yeah, they have.
Anita Dobson.
Yeah, brilliant. And begins with M. Female.
Right.
Well, brain's gone again.
Yeah.
We'll get it.
When we've got the next song, we go, oh!
Oh, yes! That's the one! Okay. And also, Sean Williamson is a boff. Oh, my goodness. When he goes in for these, you know, shows like, I don't know, The Chase or something, he is so clever. Really is genuine boff. Anyway, enough about Sean. Let's move on with the specials. This is Ghost Town.
out the shell.
This place is coming like a ghost town.
No job to be found in this country.
Was Ghost Town, The Specials, 1981. It was a UK number one. I love that song. It's a really good song.
Does take me back, that one. Does take me back.
Oh, well, we got it, didn't we? As
oh, yeah.
As I announced this, I went, Martine McCutcheon.
Yes. And she only lives in Brentwood as well.
Yeah, you see, Essex girl.
Literally, as we put the other song on, bing, it comes
bing.
Back.
When it came back to me, it didn't come back to you. No, well, you didn't know what I was talking about.
I think I would have got there, but no, that would have probably been...
Eventually. Yeah, the next song.
Another couple of years.
But the Ghost Town, The Specials, I'm playing it for what would have been singer Terry Hall's birthday, which would have been on the 19th of March. And it took the writer, Jerry Dammer, a year to write this track, and he was insistent that the band recorded it exactly how it was written. Reportedly inspired by the town of Coventry, the band's hometown. Ironically, it was recorded in a studio in Tottenham. But my nan and grandpa lived in Coventry, and my mum lived in Coventry for a while. The song spent 3 weeks at number one, culminating in an appearance on Top of the Pops. And immediately after, do you know what happened? Time?
No, I've forgotten.
Au font. They split up, having achieved 7 consecutive UK top 10
singles. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they just split, after the Top of the Pops thing.
I thought he was talking about the area, Coventry.
Oh,
I was still up. Isn't that when Nicholas Parsons had the Sale of the Century?
Was it?
Live from... I thought it was something like
that. My friend was on that, I think. Carol.
We're going back to
time
now.
One of the girls on Sale of the Century.
Nicholas Parsons, bless
her. It's her birthday today. I'm sure Carol Ashby was on that. Yeah. Beautiful girl. Right, so I've gone completely off the subject. Let's get back to the Pointer Sisters, because do you know what, Tom? I'm so excited.
We'll put all of the things aside.
because I'm so excited, the Pointer Sisters. And I'm so excited to be with you, Tom, because you make me laugh. That was 1982, and I'm playing it for Ruth Pointer's birthday, which was the 19th, and it's been famed for its use in which TV ad, Tony?
There's a couple, but Crunchy was the one.
Correct.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the one we remember the most.
Yeah. Thank Friday, it's Crunchy, and then they used to pop it open, and it used to explode on the.
Yeah. Oh, you know it backwards.
I love Crunchies. They all get stuck in your teeth, though. Don't they?
Yeah, true. But they are lovely. Yeah Crunchies are good. In fact, it's been used so many times in films and TV shows, it's become the go-to song for any producer wanting to convey excitement. As the only surviving original member of the Pointer Sisters, Ruth now performs with her daughter Issa and granddaughter Sadako. Instead of Sudoku.
Yeah, I keep thinking of the game, didn't you?
Yeah. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Vic's Mix on Phoenix 98FM with me, Vicky Michelle, and the fabulous Tony Smith. Okay, I'm going to play a Beverly Knight number. This is Last One on My Mind.
Can't go there. I'll let you sink like a stone. Way down you go into the deep. My memories don't need you anymore. I'm hanging up. This wasn't love, not like I had before. Ain't feeling lonely. I'm flying. I'm free. Well, have a good time. Don't you worry about me. Don't think that I can't sleep at night. You are the last one. You're the last one on my mind. Don't be so sure.
Was Last One on My Mind, Beverly Knight, 2023. What did you say, Tony?
Yeah, it's outstanding.
What a voice.
Outstanding. The minute she sings it, you're just like, wow, it just captures you. You're there.
And we're singing along with it as if we know it.
Yeah, it's not a well-known track.
No, it's brand new. One of my latest, 2023. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I'm right up to date, Tony.
It's a great track. We love playing Beverly.
It's from Beverly's latest album, The Fifth Chapter, and I'm playing it for Beverly's birthday, which was on the 22nd of March. She began writing songs at the age of 13, claiming to have been influenced by Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin. And Beverly has been crowned the Queen of British Soul. She's renowned for a powerful voice and electrifying stage presence. I mean, she is bloody brilliant, excuse my French. And she's been in so many West End musicals, including The Bodyguard, Memphis, Cats, Sweet Charity, The Drifter's Girl, and Sylvia. And do you know what she's in at the moment?
Yeah, Sister Act.
Yes, it's at the Dominion Theatre. And she's starring from the 15th of March to the 8th of June. And then I think Beverly Knight. Who's taking over from her after that?
Yes, they've had on and offs, haven't they, with her? She's kind of on for a while, and then I can't think of the other ladies.
And she finishes.
But right, she's currently on at the moment.
Yeah, she is. So I'm going to catch this one because she's there till, I think, when is it? 8th of June. So that's really good. And then she's going to be appearing at the Isle of Wight Festival in June and at the Park in Bedford on the 4th of July and Kew Gardens on the 13th of July. And she is an avid football fan supporting her home team of Wolverhampton Wanderers. I actually met her at my friend Lisa Denning, who's a great PR lady, at her garden party. And she was just really lovely. But it's before all of this sort of thing happened. And then I bumped into her when we were both supporting a breast cancer charity, and also when we were supporting the Back on Track charity. I'm a patron of that, and their founders, Dr. Arma Khan and Leslie Reynolds from the Harley Street Clinic, are founders of the charity and instrumental in its work, notably for veterans. You know, they do lots and lots of work, and Dr. Arma's a brilliant surgeon and has operated on so many people and saved, like, limbs, faces, scarring. He's absolutely amazing. Who else is on after her? I can't remember who's taking over.
It's a Marty McCutcheon moment.
It's another Marty McCutcheon. Damn, I was just we were just talking about it, and I just said her name.
Yeah.
Now it's gone.
It's gone.
Oh, well, that's it. It's all over for me. That's it. Okay, let's play a war number. I love this record. This is Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid, War, 1973, playing it for harmonica player Lee Oscar's birthday, which was on the 24th. Oh, it's today, 24th of March?
Yeah, today.
Yeah.
Happy
birthday, Lee. In addition to performing, Lee has designed and manufactured superior quality harmonicas since 1983, including collaborating with who? Do you know, Tom? Who plays harmonica? I'll give you a clue.
Yeah.
I've clapped my hands together and I'm going to purse my lips.
Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger.
And to launch Mick's signature series of custom line harmonicas. The song was written with the popular TV series The Cisco Kid in mind. The title character was a Mexican cowboy played by Duncan Ronaldo, who embarked on various adventures in the Wild West. I do remember that. And I'm only 35.
Do you know, he gives some of those harmonicas out to people.
Mick does.
Yeah. Some of the ones they go on sale. You can go and look at them online. But the ones he's given out, they go for thousands of pounds.
Absolutely. Well, Mick Jagger's.
You know what I mean? Especially if you get one and it's from him as well as a gift.
Of course.
He obviously hasn't sent me my one yet, but I'm still waiting.
And I'm waiting for mine. Come on, Mick.
Where's me math organ? Know what I mean?
And the band often use clips of Cisco Kid film to open their live shows. Good idea. And my other favourite record of theirs is Low Rider.
Yeah.
I love
brilliant.
That. In the mid-60s, the band were asked to become Otis Redding's backing group, but couldn't as their keyboard player was too young to go on the road. And War were the last band to play live with Jimi Hendrix.
All right.
Not a lot of people knew that, Tom.
Oh, first one of the...
Not a lot of people know this. And it was a gig at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in London. Gosh, I wish I'd gone to that one.
Yeah, it would have been brilliant.
That would have been absolutely brilliant. And, okay, listeners, we got the name of the girl that's taking over. After we'd mentioned it to each other, Tony this time, who is it?
Yeah, Alexandra Burke.
She's got a great voice.
Exactly,
well.
Yeah.
Yep, brilliant.
One all on the memory.
We're getting there bit by bit. One all.
We're warming up.
Okay, let's play a cause number. This is Breathless.
Standing still, I'm waiting.
That was Breathless, The Cause, 2000. It was a UK number one, and it was requested by John George, Jumpers for Goalposts. Hope you enjoyed that, John George. Also playing for singer, musician and songwriter Sharon Corr's birthday, which is today, and Caroline Corr's birthday, which was on the 17th of March. The Corrs formed in 1990. They are siblings, Jim, Sharon, Caroline and Andrea. The Corrs got their musical inspiration from their parents, Jerry and Jean, who used to perform in Irish pubs under the name Sound Affair. And they began performing off being given a grand piano as a wedding present. Little did they think it would inspire their children. In fact, Jim took up playing piano at the age of four and went on to learn the guitar. Sharon took up the violin. Caroline, the drums, and singer Andrea also plays the tin whistle. Can you play the tin whistle?
No. Only just the one note.
Okay, yeah. I can't even whistle. They got their big break after being cast in Alan Parker's film The Commitments. And they've recently announced a major Ireland and UK tour called Talk on Corners for later this year with Natalie Imbruglia. That'd be nice.
Yeah, funny. Yeah, we were talking about The Commitments earlier on. 1991, yeah. That film was.
Yeah. I knew I had The Commitments in here, yeah, but you were talking Sally. About them.
Yeah, the Mustang Sally's track, yeah. was on there.
On and The Commitments.
And a lot of people, when they listened to that, started to listen to the original again. Yeah. So, and there was a big reference to it. So, yeah, fantastic.
That was, thank you, Anthony. That was a nice bit of information for that. So should we play a lively little number? You like this number, don't you?
Yes,
so,
a great track.
Yeah, yeah. This is In the Summertime, Mungo Jerry.
Philosophy.
That was In the Summertime, Mungo Jerry, 1970, written by Ray Dorsett. It was a UK number one, and I'm playing it for Ray Dorsett's birthday, which was on the 21st of March. Ray Dorsett said it took him only 10 minutes to write this tune. The lyrics are easy to learn.
Yeah,
da-da-da-da-da, doo-dee-doo. But he was working in a lab for Timex at the time. And the name of Mungo Jerry was taken from T.S. Eliot's book, Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. And the same book was the inspiration of Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical Cats. And talking of summertime, what happens next weekend, Tony?
Yeah, finally, the clocks go forward.
Yeah.
You
think it's Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of Saturday night, Sunday, isn't it? So it's 12 o'clock midnight Saturday night going into Sunday. You get that hour, but then it goes forward.
Yeah.
So, yes, technically.
And Tony was getting really excited about this record when what is it? Motorbike or revs up.
I said, yeah, it goes
like
off the
car. We couldn't wait to get to that. And then I said, I like this. Yeah, go on, Tony. And I said, we'll have a ch-ch-ch off, because I used to do that to Prince Buster's Al Capone. Al Capone's Guns Don't Argue.
Oh, that's a bit like Daddy Cool. He's crazy like a fool.
Yay!
You can put that beat in anywhere.
That was quite good.
Chicken in.
Okay, shall we play a stylistics number? This is I'm Stone in Love with You.
Big expensive car. I would
was. I'm Stone in Love with You, the Stylistics, 1972. Brilliant record, that is.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I heard that.
You were
ages,
trying to
ages.
Hit those high notes, weren't you?
Yeah, it's high, isn't it?
It is high, really high. I'm playing it for Russell Tompkins Jr.'s birthday, which was on the 21st of March. The original lead singer with the Stylistics. Russell was noted for his high tenor, countertenor, and falsetto vocals. It was really high.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get that high. Cause
my VGs are high.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was sort of a thing, wasn't it? 70s.
Back then, yeah. Yeah. So that's all those leather trousers they wore.
Yeah. Very good. <tough. laughs> At the height of their popularity in the 70s, the group had 12 consecutive top 10 hits. And Johnny Mathis also had a big hit with this song. He was one of my mum's favourites. What a beautiful voice he's got.
Yeah,
he must love him. The Stylistics are currently touring the USA with original band members Aaron Love, Herb Murrell and Jason Sharp. And they are joined by Bo Henderson. Okay, you ready for another dance?
Oh,
I've got to dance to this. Okay, this is La Bamba, Los Lobos. Los Lobos, 1980. Written and originally recorded by Richie Valens, was a UK number one and a USA number one. And I'm playing it for bass player Conrad Lozano's birthday, which was on the 21st of March. The first American number one hit where the lyrics were all in Spanish, and it was adapted from a traditional Mexican folk song. Los Lobos wrote most of their own music. This was a rare exception, and it became their first big hit. Although not their own composition, they did agree to record the soundtrack to the 1987 Richie Valens biopic, La Bamba, at the request of Richie's mum and sister in tribute to Valens' music legacy. So that was nice of them to do that. And Los Lobos considered it really brave. I mean, back in the 50s, to take a Mexican song and turn it into a rock tune and then sing it in Spanish. So Ricky Valens was, like, really brave to do that back then. Oh, he's still doing air guitar. Tony. He was doing major air guitar to that one. So we've had the revs, now we've had the air guitar. Is there no end to your talent, Tom?
Like I'm a mime.
He combine to this next one. This is Bicycle Race, Queen.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
You say black,
I say white.
You say bar,
I say bite.
You say shark,
I say him. And George was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
You say Rose,
I say Roy.
You say God,
give me a choice.
Say Lord,
I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein or Superman.
All I wanna do is
Queen, 1978, UK number 11, and it was released as a double A-side with Fat Bottomed Girls. Tony was doing air guitar and ringing bicycle bells.
I was, yeah. Strange.
He's a very good actor. And Freddie was inspired to write this after watching the Tour de France ride past this hotel while in France. And the cycle shops often ran out of bicycle bells when Queen was in town. Fans used to buy them up to play during the song at concerts.
Yeah, I could well imagine that.
Yeah,
be brilliant,
that'd be
wouldn't
brilliant,
it?
Brilliant, yeah. And I'm actually playing this because Essex girl Dame Laura Trott has announced her retirement from cycling with immediate effect this week, meaning she won't compete in the Paris Olympics this year. Dame Laura was born in Harlow, Essex, and she is heralded as Britain's most successful Olympic female athlete, having won 5 gold, 1 silver cycling medals and competing in London, Rio and Tokyo. She claims the pull of being a mum was too great to continue and wants to spend more time with her children, Albie, 6, and Monty, 1. You can understand it, but gosh, she was, like, she's such a brilliant athlete. Anyway, I remember riding tandem.
Riding tandem.
Riding tandem. With Gordon Kay. I don't know why I went northern on that. No, it's Can You Ride Tandem? Okay, that was it.
There's, yeah, that's it.
That.
It was on something. Because
yeah,
I was thinking, I was
yeah,
exactly
can you ride
the same.
Yeah, that was it. That's where they came.
Oh, I tell you what, it was off PG Tips advert with the two
oh,
monkeys.
Was it? Oh, yes, yes. Mm. I'll stop monkeying around. Okay. Yeah, I remember, God, that was awful. And he kept wobbling it. So I was on the back and Gordon was on the front. And then, so he was leading, but he kept standing, just wobbling it. And I was going, ah, stop, because it was really dangerous. He was such a sod. And guess what's on tonight?
Uh-huh.
Yesterday Channel, 8 o'clock. What do you think that is?
Could it possibly be?
Oh, could it be? I'm lacking that French accent.
The hello, hello?
Hello, yes, Anthony. It is. It's the spirit of Nouvion, legate to Spain, and prior engagements. And also want to say a happy birthday to Carol Ashby. It's her birthday today, and she played Louise in the...